Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate. At the back end of the show, we're going to hear from Maya Malika, a member of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour who was on the ground in Portland, Oregon. And we're going to hear her conversation with Sansara Taylor on the Revolution Nothing Less show. And then a clip of Maya speaking in Portland. Before that, we'll hear Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and his piece, Bloated Bag of Fascist Feces, Trump Isn't Tough, Part 2, Who Really Has Heart? And opening the show up, I'll be sharing an interview I did recently with Carl Dix, a member of the Revolutionary Communist Party and a board member for Refuse Fascism. We're going to be talking with Carl about Trump and his criminal rush into establishing a fascist rule in the U.S. and the need for people to stand up against this before it's too late. I'm very pleased to welcome to the show Carl Dix. Carl, welcome.
Thank you for having me on again, Michael.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about, man. It's like the system. You're sitting here, and every time you think you've just covered enough and you're going to get a breath, and suddenly the next day, damn, they've got something else coming out. And this stuff is getting sharper and heavier each and every day. And I think it's really important that we hear from you, from the stuff that you've been saying, that you've been bringing out to people. It's extremely important. So let's jump into this, and we have enough time to go through a lot. So let's start off with this. If we step off from the overall situation, how the regime is barreling ahead, working to hammer a full-on fascist rule into place. This is extremely important, and I don't know how much people actually recognize this or how deep they understand it, but it seems to me that this is an extremely important place to start out in terms of telling people, look at what's happening. This is what you got to understand.
Yeah, I mean, I really agree with that, because look, we are less than 3 months out from an election. And what's at issue in this election is a showdown over what's going to be the form of rule in this country. I mean, because we have been in a situation for 3.5 years where you have a fascist in the White House. I mean, and we've been saying that, I've been saying that. Some of us got together and formed Refuse Fascism to mobilize people to fight to drive this fascist regime out right after the election. And some people said, well, you know, don't be alarmist. Don't go too far with this. This isn't real. Well, look at the last 3.5 years. Look at the fact that somebody who came into office campaigning on demonizing and criminalizing immigrants has set up concentration camps for them at the border and separated massive numbers of children from their families. Look at the way in which open, naked white supremacy has just spewed forth from the highest office of the land. Look at the way in which the federal courts have been stacked with judges who have in their crosshair the right of women to choose to have an abortion or even to choose to use birth control. And look at the fact that among these judges are a number of people, and I will call them that loosely, who have argued that Brown versus Board of Education, the 1954 Supreme Court decision that made Jim Crow segregation unconstitutional, Trump has appointed and the Senate has accepted and put in place judges who feel that decision was wrongfully decided. And think about where this can go in the future. But you don't even have to go all the way back to the beginning of the Trump-Pence regime. You can just look at the immediate period to get a sense of what is actually looming over not only this country, but over all of humanity. I mean, just in the past couple of months, you've had the president gather up agents from a number of different federal departments, Homeland Security, Treasury, Tobacco and Treasury agents and others, and sending them in camouflage gear with no identification, first into Portland to try to crush the protests that had sprung up and continued after the police murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, to try to crush that protest. And people who use very brutal and vicious tactics, these federal stormtroopers, widespread use of tear gas, beating people, shooting less lethal munitions at them, because these are not unlethal munitions, these projectiles that they fire at people, kidnapping people off the street and taking them in and interrogating them, and then revealing that he's going to spread this across the country and not only target protests if he decides they're getting out of hand, but also go into Black and Latino neighborhoods and cities like Chicago, like Kansas City, where they have already begun to go in, but also a long list of cities, Oakland, Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and other cities, to deal with out of control crime. This is what this man is putting forward. And then you have him speaking on the election itself, already laying out that things like expanding mail-in balloting so that in the midst of this coronavirus that is killing 1,000 people a day here in this country, that's 1,000 people a day every day has been the level of death due to this, that if states start to make it possible for more people to vote without having to come out, stand in line at polling places and different things like that, he has begun to say that this will make this the most corrupt election in U.S. history, and that it will mean that the election will be a fraud. And this is him laying the basis for refusing to accept the results of the election if it doesn't go his way. This is what this is all about, because you've got a guy who himself votes by mail saying that voting by mail will lead to the biggest fraudulent election in U.S. history. And he's talked about recruiting tens of thousands of poll watchers from among former policemen, from among these federal agents that he's sending into different cities, and others of the tough guys who support him, and sending them into areas to watch the polls and try to keep the so-called illegal and illegitimate voters from voting. And what he means by that are the people who would likely not vote for him and his regime. So this is what we're up against. We're up against a regime that is advancing a fascist program and is letting it hang out that it will not allow a fair election to go down. And if the election turns out to go against them, will refuse to accept the results. This is what we're up against. This is what could happen. And people need to think about what would happen if, one way or another, this regime remains in power after the elections. Look at the way in which, after the impeachment failed in January, and some of the people who had to admit that he had done something wrong in soliciting foreign involvement to help fix the U.S. election said, well, he'll be chastened by the impeachment process. And it was exactly the opposite. He was emboldened by the fact that he committed crimes out in public and got away with it. What will it be like with a second term of the Trump-Pence regime? This is what we're up against, and people need to both see that horror, but also see what is the potential power that exists in this country to stop it. And it is not relying on the channels of the system, because that is what people have done for the last 3.5 years. And it is really, how is that working for you? But there is a power that can work and must be unleashed in more massive and determined ways. And that power is the power of people taking to the streets and refusing to accept a fascist America. We've seen glimpses and full view of what that power could do in the protest after the police murder of George Floyd, in the way that people all across the country took to the streets, diverse people, really spearheaded by young people, but it was not just Black people or Black and brown people. It was large numbers of white people, large numbers of people from the LGBTQ community, and coming together in the streets to say, we won't accept this wanton police murder. We will no longer accept the white supremacy that has helped to drive it. And this really impacted the political terms of things in this country. And people need to see the potential for building on that, broadening that, and encompassing what is really a very necessary demand for anybody who wants to see justice in this country. And that demand is Trump, Pence out now.
Mm-hmm. You know, Carl, as you're talking, it just reminds me so much of all these things that you read in history books, you read in newspapers about all these, you know, these people who live, you know, out in the boonies somewhere, and that there's all these fascists that are running societies across the globe. And you look at this and you're thinking, okay, what is the difference between what's being done here now and what people have always been taught to think of as, well, that just happens out there, you know? And it's very heavy because, you know, you're talking about the fear-mongering that mail-in balloting in November will lead to. He's saying he might need to postpone the election, and all these things are happening. And in the midst of that, you're also, the thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't want to forget this, is suddenly these military forces that appeared, taken from all these various other, they were assets from other parts of the military or other parts of the regime, and suddenly they're showing up and they're carrying out these forces. People don't really even know who they are. They just know that they're out there. They're shooting, they're beating, they're running a very, very horrendous assault on people and on not just the people in the areas that they're in, but the people that in the country as a whole. You know, it's a very dangerous situation that's been let loose here.
Yeah, that's really true and important. And look, I've seen on TV these federal stormtroopers, that's all I can call them, in Portland, and the way that they operated. But just looking at them visually, it reminded me of having been in Richmond, Virginia on Martin Luther King's birthday of this year, when 20,000 people who ostensibly had come together to defend their Second Amendment rights. But what you had is you had thousands of people dressed in camouflage, carrying the same kinds of weapons that these federal agents were carrying. And it does pose to you, well, if some people in camouflage, armed to the teeth, pull up on you and grab you and throw you in a car, who just kidnapped you? Was it official federal agents, or was it unofficial white supremacist, fascist, Trump regime supporters? And the difference between the two of those is getting blurred by the very action of Trump's regime. And you see where this is going when you hear their justifications for it. And it begins with, oh, well, we have to protect the courthouse. But then to protect the courthouse, they go rolling through the city and grabbing up people with the charge that, well, you are suspected of maybe having done something at a protest. No probable cause, no warrant, none of that's necessary. They can just grab you up. And when Trump is pressed on that, his response is, I'm the president. I can do about what I want. And this isn't far from what he has exactly said. This is what we're dealing with. And it's not a surgical strike that he's doing here. It's a blunt spreading of this kind of force with his moving it into the inner cities and cities across the country. And this is what we're up against. And we also have to look at the way in which he is drawing up his enemies list in the course of his, to the degree he's putting on a political campaign. It has sketched out that his enemies include anybody who believes that America is fundamentally unjust. And he lumps them among their anarchists, thugs, arsonists, and anybody who believes America is fundamentally unjust. Well, think about that. America is fundamentally unjust. You look at the way in which police wantonly brutalize and murder black and brown people. That is unjust. You look at the way that people are warehoused in prisons all across the country, and again, disproportionately black and brown. You look at the way in which a pandemic is spreading throughout the globe and still spreading here in this country, and the way in which its victims are, again, disproportionately black people, Latinos, and Native people. What is just about any of that? Especially when you include the anti-science approach that this regime takes in the face of this pandemic, which combines saying it's no big deal, it's under control, and then when science-based steps are proposed to deal with it, the regime obstructs them at every turn. There's nothing just about this setup. And frankly, I've been working to bring into being a just setup here basically all my adult life, because I've been a revolutionary since back in the 1960s. And that is what we need to deal with these problems once and for all. We need a revolution to get rid of this system. And as a revolutionary who is working on doing just that, working on building a movement for an actual revolution, spreading the leadership of Bob Avakian, the architect of the new communism, the leader that we have who can lead this revolution, doing that brought us right up against the fact that revolution is not something that would be advanced by the prospects of the Trump-Pence regime consolidating its hold on power and hammering full-on fascism into place in this country, that we have to stop that regime. We have to drive it out. And it's the same for anybody who maybe doesn't agree with revolution, but has any other progressive agenda. If you're in the streets now saying we need an end to white supremacy, you need to be a part of acting now to drive this regime out. If you see the threats that this regime and capitalism, imperialism in general, pose to the environment of the planet that we live on, and are fighting to try to reverse that, you need to throw in to drive this regime out. Because a regime that is intensifying all these horrors and working to obliterate the space for people to stand up and protest against them is a regime that will block any advances on any progressive front. And people need to recognize that and act against it. And we should talk a little bit more, maybe more than a little bit, about the call from Refuse Fascism for nationwide protest on September 5th. And the plan Refuse Fascism has
for
building up to that.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we're speaking today with Carl Dix. Carl's a member of the Revolutionary Communist Party and a board member of Refuse Fascism. Yeah, that's exactly what where I was going to go. I mean, I was thinking about that as you were talking, the importance of doing it now regarding Refuse Fascism and the action that it's having, that it's called for September 5th. This is extremely important. I mean, I'm listening to you and having studied all this and read it and just followed it for a while, you know, and you're looking at it, and this whole point of, I mean, when you talked about the, you know, look, directly responsible for tens of thousands of needless deaths, that this pandemic, you know, this system, the response to this pandemic is responsible for tens of thousands of needless deaths. And when you dig into all this, you can clearly see the need to drive this regime from power now, as you're saying, you know, and that's what one of the things that really I was really inspired to find, this point about the importance of doing it now, and that there is this Refuse Fascism action that's being called for on September 5th. Let's talk about what it is and why.
Okay. Yeah, so let's start with September 5th. Refuse Fascism has issued a call for protests in cities across the country on September 5th during Labor Day weekend. And the unifying demand for these protests is Trump, Pence out now. And the aim here is to bring into the streets a critical mass of people behind that demand who declare their determination to act to drive this regime out and to act to do it now. And through the course of August, Refuse Fascism has plans to be out in the protest happening against white supremacy and police getting away with murdering black people, to be out during the weeks of the Democratic and Republican national conventions. I mean, in the past, those would have been gatherings in particular cities, and we'd send contingents of people there to be part of protesting. Now it seems like these are going to be virtual conventions, but there will still be protests during the period that these conventions happen. And then on August 28th, there's going to be a march on Washington around the question of police murder. It's the Get Your Knee Off Our Necks protest. We're going to send a contingent to that. And all of that is pointed towards spreading the demand Trump-Pence out now and pointing things towards September 5th as the day to manifest strongly around this demand. And then going forward from there to build that up. And see, and here's why that's important to do. The first thing is that you cannot sit back and wait for the election and hope that that will take care of this problem. You can't do that, one, because there are daily horrors being perpetrated by this regime. 1,000 people die every day in this country from the pandemic that the anti-science approach of this regime is refusing to take on. There is the way in which white supremacy is being whipped up and unleashed. The fascist thugs in Trump's base are being unleashed to attack people who are protesting and attacking people just for standing against and opposing what this regime is about. But also, you can't sit back and wait because the regime is telling you that it is moving forward to try to delegitimize the regime, the election in advance through its attacks on mail-in voting and the other things that they're doing. They're telling you we're going to bring out poll watchers who will be watching the polls, especially in areas where Trump expects the vote to go against him, and trying to intimidate people out of voting. And it really becomes necessary for there to be a visible force that is saying this regime must go, because it's not a foregone conclusion that the regime can't be driven out before the elections. And I know a lot of people say, well, that can't happen here. We don't do things like that. We have elections and peaceful transfer of power. Well, we're already being told that that's another norm this regime is prepared to bulldoze through, just like all the others. You know, you also cannot solicit foreign interference in U.S. elections, but this regime did it in the first election and then did it in public leading into this election. So that's a norm that they've already broken through, and this is just another norm, another obstacle in the road to a fascist America that they are prepared to bulldoze through. And then the other thing is people beginning to take to the streets now. If it does come down to that we don't succeed in driving the regime out between now and the elections, and we should remember the governor of Puerto Rico was driven out in 15 days. There are other countries around the world where fascist and oppressive regimes were driven out by mass protest in weeks or a couple months. But if we don't succeed in doing that, what puts us in the best position to deal with the attempts of the regime to not allow free and fair elections, whether that's intimidating people out of voting in certain parts of the country, whether that's trying to cancel or postpone the elections, or whether that's refusing to accept the results of the election? And that will be visible protest in the streets, people already having weighed in with their feet, not sitting back on their couch hoping it doesn't go that way, but actually in the streets saying we're not going to accept this. That puts us in the best position to carry the struggle forward through whatever scenario develops, to ensure that this regime ends up out of power. So for all of those reasons, Refuse Fascism has called for this activity, and it is very, very important that people take it up. You know, and people are going to be going to people who are in the streets around white supremacy and police murder and saying, come and bring that demand into the streets on September 5th at these protests for Trump Pence out now. Because if you really want to see white supremacy ended, a step towards that is making sure that the white supremacist who's in the White House right now ends up being driven out. We're going to go to people who maybe right now aren't in the streets around the environment, but have shown real passion around that, and say to them, if you want to see the environment of the earth protected, then you cannot allow this anti-science regime that has greatly accelerated the attacks on the environment to continue to hold power in the most powerful country in the world. You got to bring your passion around the environment out on September 5th. And that's got to be the overall approach. And that's how we need to go at it. And we need to go at it for those reasons, because one, we got to act now to drive this regime out and not sit and wait and hope that it can be done through the elections. And whatever moves they make to steal, nullify, postpone, whatever, suspend the elections, you're in the best position to deal with that if you are building a fight to drive this regime out now. And we can't make the mistake, you know, we can't rerun Bush versus Gore from the year 2000. And for those in your audience who are too young to remember that, the election in 2000 was contested right down to the end. And the votes of Florida were going to decide who won the election. And there were a lot of problems with how the election went down, and Florida wanted to recount its votes. The Democratic Party was going to rely on the courts to allow that to go forward. And George W. Bush clearly won the only election that counted that year. And that was the election on the Supreme Court, where the conservative judges on the Supreme Court, who were in the majority, voted 5-4 to stop Florida from recounting its votes, because they were very afraid that if Florida got to recount its votes, it would go the other way and Bush would not win the election. So we can't be looking at it like, if Trump tries to do something like that, we're going to take him to court, you know, because they've packed the courts, especially at the highest level, the Supreme Court, and that's not something to be relied on to keep fascism from getting a second term to consolidate its hold on power and push back any progressive advancement that far back. Because the chances to make revolution go way down if the Trump-Pence regime remains in power, but also the chances to end white supremacy, to actually reverse the devastation of the environment, to stop the criminalization and demonization of immigrants, to stop the attacks on the rights of women, to stop the wars for empire. All of that gets set way, way back if this regime consolidates its hold on power. And people have to look that straight in the face and say, we have to act on this. We can't sit back and let this happen.
Mm-hmm. Carl, let me ask you this. You know, and I know this is something that you've probably thought about and heard from a million different people, but I've run into it quite often. And, you know, I wanted you to speak to it because I think it's something that people need to grapple with and they need to understand, you know, what's happening here. And it's that, what about voting in this election as a solution? You know, and I wanted to talk about that because this is something that most people never expected to hear coming from the Revolutionary Communist Party or representatives of the Revolutionary Communist Party. So let's talk about what BA says about voting in this election and what he doesn't say, the importance of voting now and the danger of relying on elections as the way to deal with the fascist regime.
Yeah, this brings up something that is really very important. There's a new statement from Bob Avakian that was just published this week titled "On the Immediate Critical Situation, the Urgent Need to Drive Out the Fascist Trump-Pence Regime, Voting in This Election, and the Fundamental Need for Revolution." And I really urge your listeners to go to the website revcom.us and read this statement, because this is a statement that takes a scientific and materialist approach to what is the situation that we're in, what is the danger that humanity faces, and what needs to be done to deal with that danger. And it speaks to the need to drive out the regime and also the fundamental need for revolution to deal with the horrors that the regime is intensifying, because this regime didn't start the horrors that they are intensifying. All of those horrors existed before Trump came into office, but all of them are now being intensified. And in the course of doing that, Avakian speaks to the question of voting in this election. And I really urge people to go read it, to get it from the horse's mouth, and to let us know what they think of it. And they can do that by writing via email to revolution.reports@yahoo.com, because that's the way to write to revcom.us. And I'll just briefly speak to what he says on that in this statement. And what he says is that while revolutionaries have been clear that elections are not the way to change things for the better, that and we call it their elections bourgeois electoral bull. While we've never participated in their elections, this time is different. And Avakian says that we have to use all appropriate nonviolent means to ensure that this fascist Trump-Pence regime does not remain in power. And one of those means is voting in this election against Trump. And he makes clear, not vote for the Green Party, but vote for the Democrat, vote for Biden. Not because Biden is fundamentally any better than Trump, because he's not, but because Biden isn't Trump and isn't part of a move to enforce full-on fascist rule in this country. And in that way, it is a means to stop that from happening. And he makes clear also that this isn't something that can be relied on for some of the reasons that I've been talking about. If you are approaching it like, well, yeah, of course, I know I was already going to vote for Biden. There's nothing for me to learn from this statement. No, there's a whole lot for you to learn, unless you were viewing your vote as something that you were going to do, along with mainly taking to the streets and saying Trump Pence out now, and working to build a powerful movement advancing that demand, because that is the main part of what needs to be done. And while voting can play an important role if there is an election, and again, like I said, that's not a foregone conclusion, if you rely on that and wait for that to be your way to get Trump, then you're actually doing the same thing that people who relied on impeachment and relied on the congressional elections in 2018 and relied on the investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election did. And that is waiting for some channel of the system to finally work, and the checks and balances that are supposed to stop these kinds of horrors to kick in. And they have been kicked over at every point along the way. So Avakian gets much more deeply into that point, and he does it in the context of overall getting into the overall situation, what humanity is up against and what we can and must do. And I really urge people again to go to the website revcom.us to read this statement by Bob Avakian on the immediate critical situation, the urgent need to drive out the fascist Trump-Pence regime, voting in this election, and the fundamental need for revolution. To go there, read this statement, and to write us with what you think about it. Write us at revolution.reports@yahoo.com. And the statement just came out this week. I think August 1st was the publication date. We'll be talking about it much more in the future. And, you know, as you're reading and assimilating what Avakian has to say in this, you also need to be taking up the call from Refuse Fascism for nationwide protest on September 5th. That's Labor Day weekend. I believe it's the Saturday of Labor Day weekend. And working now to build up to that. And you can go to the website refusefascism.org to find out more about this and to enlist in that effort. And they've got a lot of materials there, including web discussions about it, the call for it, social media work that's being done around it. And that, those are all things that people could plug into and help spread.
All right, Carl, we're going to have to wrap this up now because we're running out of time, but I wanted to thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, and thank you for having me on again, Michael.
Yeah, and let's stay in touch, man, because this is going to be a hot, hot fall, I think. All right?
Okay.
All right, man, take care. You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. We've been talking with Carl Dix, a member of the Revolutionary Communist Party and a board member for Refuse Fascism. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned. We live in troubled times. We live in troubled times. All right, that was Green Day with Troubled Times. Now we're going to hear Bob Avakian, B.A., the leader of the revolution and the architect of the new communism, talking about bloated bag of fascist feces, Trump Isn't Tough, Part 2, Who Really Has Heart? This and many other writings from B.A. can be found at revcom.us. Once again, that's revcom.us.
Bloated bag of fascist feces, Trump Isn't Tough, Part 2. Who really has heart? In Bloated Bag, Part 1, talking about bunker boy Donald Trump, who continues to threaten and is responsible for vicious repression against protesters, I made this point. Anybody can act tough when they are calling on a massive machinery of violence and destruction, like the U.S. military, to back them up. And I spoke to the fact that in opposition to the coward bully Trump, the ones who are showing real courage and heart are the masses of people of all races and genders who have taken to the streets to demand an end to this brutality and murder, and have defied curfews and braved assaults from police and National Guard forces. If we go broader and deeper, beyond the confines of this country, and the immediate time frame, we can see another shining example of people with real courage and heart going up against powerful oppressive forces. The Vietnamese people, who fought heroically and at the cost of great sacrifice to drive out their colonizing oppressors. As Malcolm X put it, these were a people of a poor nation who chased the French colonialists right out of their country. And then, after the U.S., which had backed the French colonialists in that war, took over directly and tried to dominate Vietnam, the revolutionary Vietnamese fighters, at the cost of great sacrifice, defeated the attempts of the most powerful military in the world to subjugate their country and forced it to withdraw. Unlike the U.S. military that slaughtered huge numbers of Vietnamese civilians, or the fundamentalist Islamic fanatics of these times, who also slaughter and seek to terrorize masses of innocent civilians, the Vietnamese were fighting a war of liberation by revolutionary means. Or, coming back to this country, if you want to talk about courage and heart, how about the Black Panther Party, which began with a small number of black youth who went on armed patrols, legally at the time, in Oakland in the 1960s to prevent police from brutalizing and murdering black people, and stood up against murder and continuing heavy repression from the government as over the next few years, the BPP grew into a powerful revolutionary force throughout the country. And they did this in unity with revolutionary struggles going on throughout the world. How many people know or remember that the leader of the Black Panther Party, Huey Newton, declared that if they were needed, he was ready to send Black Panthers to fight on the side of the Vietnamese against the U.S.? Clearly, the Black Panthers in their revolutionary days were not the kind of Second Amendment people that Trump likes to talk about. And in recent days, particularly in the context of the mass outpouring against institutionalized racism and police terror, and with the repressive response of the Trump-Pence regime and the threats and attacks by the fascist base of this regime, there have been black people who have exercised their Second Amendment rights, in some cases raising political demands, such as the call for the World Court to investigate the United States for its murderous oppression of black people. Even though this does not represent the same kind of revolutionary outlook of the Panthers in their early days, it does involve an important stand. Although both the Vietnamese liberation fighters and the Black Panther Party eventually were taken off the road of revolution, there is still much to learn from their revolutionary heroism at the height of their inspiring struggles. Applying the lessons from previous revolutionary struggles and forces, and going still deeper, here's something worth thinking about. How about masses of black and brown youth today who, instead of killing each other, are taking up the 5-2-6 basic principles of revolution and are moving as a powerful positive force working for an actual revolution that will put an end to this oppressive system and bring something much better into being? A revolution based on the new communism and aiming to put an end to all the ways in which people anywhere are exploited, abused, terrorized, brutalized, and slaughtered.
That was Bob Avakian, the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, with Bloated Bag of Fascist Feces, Trump Isn't Tough, Part 2, Who Really Has Heart? And as I said earlier, you can find all of BA's recent writings and provocations at revcom.us. And be sure to check out a recent statement from Bob Avakian on the immediate critical situation, the urgent need to drive out the fascist Trump-Pence regime, voting in this election, and the fundamental need for revolution. Now we're going to hear from Maya Malika, a member of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour on the ground in Portland, Oregon. First, we'll hear her conversation with Sansara Taylor on the Revolution Nothing Less show, and then we'll run a clip of Maya speaking on the streets in Portland, Oregon.
As one part of the beautiful uprising that has taken place across this country since the police brutally murdered George Floyd in Minneapolis, Portland, Oregon has seen outpourings every single night since then, and they've increased and intensified in the face of Trump's fascist paramilitary forces that he sent in. They were kidnapping people, snatching them off the street in unmarked vehicles, unidentified paramilitary camouflage-dressed men. It's a very, very dangerous situation there. And yet, in the face of this, people came back even stronger. We covered this last week on the Revolution Nothing Less show, both the protests and the significance of this in a commentary from Andy Z. And this week, I'm very excited and happy to bring on to the Revolution Nothing Less show Maya Malika, who is part of the National Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour and the Revolution Clubs, who has been up in Portland for about a week now. Maya, welcome to the RNL show.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
How are you feeling?
Feeling awesome.
That's good. So listen, people, viewers, if you've seen this show before, you may remember that Maya was with me when we went to Minneapolis in the early days of the upsurge there. And maybe we'll touch on some of that in a minute, too. But why don't you just start us off with what it feels like on the ground? Who's out there? What's going on? Why do people keep coming back, even in the face of this tear gas and the kidnappings and all of this? What's going on? What's it feel like on the ground?
Well, it feels pretty amazing being on the ground. And I think it's a shared feeling for most people, where people feel like this is the place to be. You have people traveling for hours from Texas, from Los Angeles, from the Bay, from Kentucky, young people feeling the need that they cannot stay at home and watch this while people are being tear gassed, while black people continue to be brutalized. And you also have, you know, walls of moms, which are a lot of them are from the suburbs and who have put themselves in the front lines, have been tear gassed constantly and continue to come out. And these are people who, again, similar experience about, they do not want to sit at home and watch this go on and feel compelled to do something, feel compelled that, you know, they cannot just sit home and want to take history into their own hands.
You were in Minneapolis with me, and I am curious because that was very early in the upsurge. I mean, it was going across the country. It was clearly a major upsurge, but this is now 2 months in, and the federal forces have been called. Tear gas has been fired. Donald Trump is threatening people almost every day. And with heightened charges and jail time and all of this. So I'm just curious, how would you compare the mood, the understanding, and even some of the questions that are emerging on the ground in Portland as compared to back in Minneapolis a couple months ago?
Right. Well, Minneapolis, yes, we were there, and it was beautiful, right? This beautiful uprising. People poured to the streets and inspired all across the country. And it was similar to here in Portland, where there were a lot of Black youth, a lot of white people actually taking to the streets. The difference that I see in Portland is more of a fierce determination, that they do not care to be gassed. They don't want to be gassed, but they do not care. They want the feds out. Another thing is, I feel like there's a understanding that this is fascism, even if that's limited. But they do call it the feds fascist. They do call Trump fascist, and they do see that need for people to stay in the streets. And they have said, even if the feds leave, that they still are going to come out, which is a righteous stand, and that's because that's what's needed.
I am curious also, what on the ground, what have you felt that you have learned the most by being there?
Well, I've learned a lot, but one thing I've appreciated is how different types of people of different ages, like I said, the walls of moms have been a really inspiration to me. You know, people of different ages who have what really are eager to be in the front lines and are not afraid of being gassed, and how people have turned their ways of thinking in very short periods of time. Like I said, some people, this has been their first time protesting, and what propelled them was the fact that the feds, you know, came to town and how they terrorized the people. And this has provided an opening for people to actually dig into, where does this come from? Where does this oppression come from? And open to engaging into something that they never thought of or were afraid of, revolution and communism. You know, people are being honest and we're having honest discussions. And this is something that many people are not used to. And so you also see how, you know, even just the name Walls of Moms, how masses of people coming together is what's actually gonna need to, you know, not have sections of, in this case, Black people being encircled by this repressive system. How that needs to grow, and the potential of that in transforming people to becoming revolutionaries in order to actually go all and defeat and dismantle the system. How people can change right away, and it doesn't matter, you know, age and background. It's a heartfelt feeling that people feel when they see this repression coming down on Black people, and their minds get wide open. And this is what it takes, and this is what we're organizing now, right? Where revolution is not on the map, but that needs to change. And the way that changed is actually when people start taking up this theory and this science. You know, you grow the numbers and you impact more on a societal level. And this is a small example of what's happening in Portland, where people have changed quickly, you know, into digging into something that felt uncomfortable, you know, just a week ago. And I'm not saying they're in it all the way, but some are. And this needs to be on a wider scale.
Well, Maya, I really want to thank you for taking the time. I know you got to get yourself off to film showing. You're showing one of Bob Avakian's speeches with some people that you've met there, so I don't want to hold you up.
Okay, thank you.
are.
And whether we agree or disagree on things, mm-hmm. we need to struggle with, let's figure out how to put an end to the things that we hate. And what I hate about this system is how the system plunders the environment, mm-hmm. how the system treats women as sex toys, mm-hmm. as breeders, mm-hmm. how the system criminalizes immigrants, cages children. Yeah. I hate this, what the system does around the planet, where it goes around wars for empire, rapes women and kills children, yep. to keep this America on top. I hate what the system does to black and brown people. Mass incarceration has a target on their back, has no future for our youth, especially black and brown. This is a system of capitalism. And I'm with the National Revolution Tour, and I'm here from Los Angeles because I was inspired by everyone here who has taken to the streets day after day after day in the face of such brutal oppression and repression by these f***ing Gestapo. You have inspired the country all around the country, and we love you for that. And I'm here to unite, but I'm also here to bring what no one else is going to bring, an understanding of what the root of the problem is and what the solution is. We do not have to live in a society where black people have to walk with a target on their back.
Right.
No more!
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 And in order to bring a society without borders, mm-hmm. a society where women and men and differently gendered peoples are treated as equals and comrades,
how do we get out of this mess?
Okay, I should have ended it first. Okay, just repeat it.
That was Maya Malika, a member of the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour in the streets in Portland, Oregon. That was taken from the Revolution Nothing Less show on the YouTube channel, The RevComs, RevComs. And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.
Y como dice Rubén, un carro pasa muy despacito por la avenida. No tiene marca, pero todos saben que es policía. Cuidado con las armas de Brixton.